Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
The book of Revelation speaks about a time preceding the coming of the Lord, where the great harlot will be loosed upon the earth, and that all the world will become drunk with the wine of the passion of her immorality. I believe we're in that time right now. I believe we are experiencing an abandonment to immorality that would make the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah blush. Jesus tells us that the days before His return will be just like the days of Lot. But I think we have eclipsed Sodom and Gomorrah in our wickedness. And the wickedness is not just in the secular world around us, it's in the church. And that's what we have to address. Please stay tuned while we tackle this pertinent subject on Skies Revival Radio in just a few minutes. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. The book of Revelation speaks about a time preceding the coming of the Lord where the great harlot will be let loose upon the earth, and that all the world will become drunk with the wine of the passion of her immorality. And I believe we're experiencing an abandonment to immorality that would make the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah blush. Jesus tells us that the days before His return will be just like the days of Lot. But I think we may have eclipsed Sodom and Gomorrah in our wickedness. And the wickedness is not just in the secular world around us, it's in the church. And that's what we have to address. We can't have much effect on the world, but we sure have a responsibility to address the immorality within the body of Christ. We are instructed that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. But unfortunately, being in the world has a tremendous influence on us. The media, the mindset, the pervasive immorality around us have an impact. And these things crush in upon us, trying to make us conformed to the world so that we're not just in the world, but we are of the world. And nowhere is this seen more clearly than in the area of lust and immorality. We are so inundated with immoral images today that many Christians don't even blush at these things anymore. So we indulge in these things, and we keep on indulging in these things until the lust-drenched mindset of the world becomes our own mindset as well. This has become epidemic among professing believers today, and we have become almost indistinguishable from non-believers. And I'll tell you something in no uncertain terms. The Lord Jesus is not returning for a bride that looks like the world, acts like the world, talks like the world, and smells like the world. No way. If you would aspire to be among that blessed group, you must earnestly seek the Lord to make you that beautiful bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle. It is to not live in accordance with our former lusts, but to become blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul." There is a deep sleep that's come upon the church at large. We are asleep on our blessed assurance. We have gone through some outward profession. We are good regular church attenders. We have gone to the altar, and then it has stopped there. We have made a profession of faith, but it never made it any farther. It had no impact on our lives. It didn't change the way we live. But now the Spirit of God is calling. He is calling you. Come out of the world. Get the world out of you. These stimulating lustful images you see everywhere are waging war against your spirit. This great wave of immorality that has been poured out on the earth has made it impossible to be a passive Christian. The days are gone when you could be a, quote, good person. The pervasion of lustful sin has become so intense that it has corrupted even the church and even the blessed grandparents who should be holding to the standard of Christ have become polluted with the filth of the world by days and days and hours and months and years of viewing immoral and degraded entertainment on our TVs. It's time to get it out of our house, get it out of our eyes, get it out of our ears. This is a war, and it's you that is being attacked. Anyone who hopes to be found in Christ when he returns must be holding on to him with two hands today. We must view the filth of our society as a great flood which threatens to sweep us over the edge into the abyss. Jesus is like a branch extended over the waters. We must reach out, grab hold of him, and hold on to Jesus for dear life. He is the only one who can save us from going into that abyss, and we must be very determined to hold on to him. We've been going over some helps in the last lessons regarding escaping the spirit of lust that is so prevalent today. It's all part of our examination of the seventh commandment, which is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." This close look at the commandments is part of a study based on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It's worth picking up a copy to go over the previous lessons. You can get it cheaply on Amazon, or you can get a free download from our website. Just type Sky Family into your search and we'll come right up. As you look over the website, you'll find the download fairly easily. It's so important to us to realize that we are in a fight for our lives now, and that many are being swept away by this spirit of immorality that has inundated the world. This is a very serious time to be a Christian, but God is allowing this time of testing in order to find out who really belongs to him. It's not those who call him Lord, Lord, who are his true bride. It is those who do what he says, abstaining from fleshly lusts, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, fighting hard for purity, not just in our actions, but in our thoughts. This is a Christian indeed. Let's heed what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. This healing is that we are healed from sin. We are healed from lust. We are set apart in holiness for the Lord. And so we see in this verse, this precious verse, the sum of the gospel, that it was through Jesus' unmerited favor, through his death on the cross, that we are able to be saved and rescued. But that rescuing includes that we die to sin and live to righteousness. He didn't die for us to be forgiven and then to go on living just like we were before. That's not being born again. That's just continuing in the world. Being born again means we do a 180 and about face, and we begin to seek after the things of God. We begin to pursue righteousness. This is what it means to be born again. And then we see in these words of Peter that by his wounds we are healed, that this is where the healing from our sinful life comes from, through Jesus' unmerited favor, through his death on the cross for us. We are able then to apply that so that we might die to sin, die to our old life, die to our wretchedness, and become alive to him in righteousness. We're going to continue our study now, reviewing the last heading that we covered, which is called Working for the Devil. Here's something to consider. We know the devil is constantly trying to stir up lust in order to separate us from God and then steal our souls. For as much as we ourselves cause someone else to stumble because of our behavior or our dress, we are joining in the devil's work of luring a soul onto the rocks. Whenever we dress or act in a manner to cause someone to stumble, we unwittingly become a tool of the devil. And that's not a very pleasant thought, is it? And don't doubt that you can be an instrument of evil. Jesus called his best friend Peter a devil for tempting him to go against God's will. And so we are commanded by Scripture to act in a manner that is becoming to a child of God and appropriate to those around us. Now we're going to address modesty, the forgotten virtue. To be attractive, which seems to be deemed the highest good in modern society, has become synonymous with being provocative. That rule follows all social levels and all fields of employment, no matter how loudly people might protest. But God would have his people to be peculiar people. He would have them aspire to be completely different, to have a different standard. He would have them to be so completely odd that they would stand out as anomalies in our modern society. That is all accomplished in just one word: modesty. The very word is lost today. What was once considered a high virtue is now virtually unknown. A citizen from a century ago who had the misfortune of being transported to our time would consider that the world had gone mad because all the women had become prostitutes. The ordinary clothing worn in schools and public places reflects an immodesty once reserved only for hookers. That is really something to consider. What we see now as commonplace is not only totally against the precepts of God, but it would be considered totally unacceptable by nearly every society throughout history. Even barbaric cultures of the past had enough concern for their women to not let them flaunt their sexuality. The most pagan cultures had enough sense not to parade their young girls about in such a fashion as to provoke unbridled lust. They knew it would destroy them. It would destroy their civilization. Read history. Don't take my word for it. God would have his people to be modest. He would have modesty in their clothing, modesty in their behavior, modesty in their words. How do we define modest? Well, anything that would stir up lust is immodest. In 1 Timothy 2:9, we see Paul addressing this. He says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, by means of good works, as befits women who make a claim to godliness." Forgive me if this sounds a bit one-sided, but in many ways, this seems to apply especially to women. One of the most common excuses I hear for immodest dress is, "Oh, I'm not attractive. What I wear wouldn't bother anyone." That is not true. You have no idea what another might consider provocative. It is also well known that many women are self-conscious and don't consider themselves to be sexy. And that becomes a driving force in their dress. This is a trap that is very difficult to get out of. But you are responsible before God not to lead someone into sinful thoughts. That's hard because we kind of want that, don't we? We really enjoy it when people are attracted to us, when they desire us. This is like a drug to us. This is something that is very intoxicating. And so the more we can dress in a way to provoke lust and desire, the more we enjoy it. That's the sin. Men are easily, very easily led in that direction. And of course, if you're honest, you really do enjoy the attention. You must work hard not to be on Satan's team leading someone astray. You say it's their fault? Well, God is the judge. Be careful. And anyone can dress immodestly. Anyone can flaunt their sexuality. Only a true child of God can dress modestly. It requires going out of your way. You must be inconvenienced to dress modestly. You know, in the normal stores, you can only find the latest, most immodest clothing. It is a courageous and special child who would forsake the world to please her truest love. Go out of your way. God has called you to be holy and has given you his Holy Spirit to help. Those who embrace the cross and join him in death to self will be joined with him in the glory of his resurrection. Hallelujah. And we must also be modest in our speech. We must not copy the world by letting perverted words out of our mouths. Nor should we laugh at jokes or mention things that are sexually charged. This becomes a serious exercise for some who enter easily into worldly conversations. Here again is the strength and comfort of fellowship. To know that there are others who are persevering in this area is a great help. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." This is a key tenet of God's word to direct us in our conversation. It's not a suggestion. It's God's word to us. Immodest speech is completely inappropriate and unacceptable for his children. One of the scariest things to remember is that our enemy, who is all lust, is able to manipulate our emotions to such a degree that it's like he has a switch that turns on our attractions. So it is common to experience an overwhelming magnetic pull towards someone who we should not be with. We find it so hard to resist the temptation. Is this the real passionate love that you have always been longing for? It sure feels like it. As we give in and sever our family ties in pursuit of this true love, an interesting thing happens. After we have caused irreparable damage and broken our vows and gone with the new lover, guess what? The same one who lured us to destroy our family now simply clicks the switch again, this time off. Now, the passionate attraction evaporates. We can't even imagine how we ever were attracted to them. And so we find we have traded everything precious, and many times even our eternal life, for nothing, for a handful of sand. We become like Esau, who despised his birthright and sold his inheritance for a single meal. Selah. May the Lord help you as you examine your heart, as you come to the Lord that he might give you a pure heart, clean eyes, clean heart, clean thoughts, clean words, and modest dress. May the Lord bless you as you pursue becoming a blameless, innocent child of God. We look forward to joining with you again next week. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
My heart is I'm standing.